League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, good morning, Brewers fans. It's Friday, and the National League Championship Series begins tonight at Miller Park in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We've got playoff baseball for you, and it's going to be a fun ride. The Dodgers, the Brewers, getting underway Game 1, 7:09, first pitch. It's going to be a wild night at Miller Park. And my name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast. We've got a short one for you today to get you revved up for what's to come, both Friday night, Saturday night, Saturday afternoon, actually, games at Miller Park, with the Brewers and the Dodgers and their best-of-seven series getting underway. This Brewers podcast is brought to you by Century Foods. They're not only celebrating Milwaukee's run for the pennant with the rest of us, but with 65 years of providing Wisconsin families with all their own tailgating needs, including the best meat in town. That's your place to go before you head out to the parking lots. They'll open at 4 o'clock if you're interested in knowing, and you can get started on your grilling at that point. Of course, Miller Park will be sold out Friday and Saturday for this series. We learned on Thursday that Gio Gonzalez would be starting for the Milwaukee Brewers, the left-handed acquisition at the August trade deadline. They have not lost a game with Gio on the hill. He doesn't always work, you know, into the sixth inning or seventh inning, but he has been very effective. And the Brewers, of course, an 11-game winning streak. They've gotten a couple Gio starts in there. He did not pitch in the division series, but he will be on the mound starting against the Dodgers. They announced Wade Miley would be starting in the second game. Yoli Chacin, the third game. That'll be the first one out in L.A. Kind of the surprise of the Thursday press conference series, was Craig Counsell, Brewers manager, noting that Yoli Chacin might be available in relief in game one, suggesting that this rotation is in flux. That's sort of been the theme of the whole postseason, maybe the whole Brewers season at this point. That no starter is necessarily guaranteed to go deep into the game. No starter is necessarily guaranteed to pitch the next game. It's a very much in flux at all times, and the Brewers have used that to their advantage. Their pitching was dominant against the Colorado Rockies. Now comes the Dodgers. So to chat about it, again, it's a short one, a quick one, but we want to get you excited for what's to come this weekend in Milwaukee. Brought in the beat reporters for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Tom Hodricourt and Todd Rosiak. And now joined by the Brewers beat reporters, Tom Hodricourt and Todd Rosiak. They are getting set for Game 1 of the National League Championship Series at Miller Park on Friday against the Los Angeles Dodgers. We learned on Thursday who the starting pitcher would be. That's going to be Gio Gonzalez. And Tom, I feel like every time there's a starting pitching decision, it's never what you think it's going to be. There's always a surprise. But then you look at Gio's numbers against Los Angeles, and this made a lot of sense. So what did you think when you heard Craig Counsell say Gio was going to be the guy?
Well, I've been predicting all week in various formats that the starting rotation was going to be Chacin, Miley, and Gonzalez.
Yes.
But I believe I had it in the exact reverse order that they'll be pitching. But are we surprised, JR? Does this team ever give us what we think they're going to do with pitching? But like you said, Gio's been great against them. Plus, how about the little caveat that he said Game 3 starter, which apparently is in pencil, not pen, Yoli Chacin might be available in Game 1.
Right, as a reliever, that would be something. I mean, it's sort of the whole program that Craig Counsell has kind of put in place, that nobody is going to be there for longer than like 4 or 5 innings. Everybody's got a role. Everybody's got to be ready. And I guess that's one way to keep the other team on their toes, too. What did you think, Todd, of the note that Craig Counsell threw about maybe using Chacin in relief in Game 1? Is that something you think is realistic, or is that just maybe him throwing out scenarios?
I don't know. I mean, anything is realistic when he brings it up. Do I see a scenario where that happens? I guess it's possible. The Dodgers are a bunch of mashers, as the Brewers have found out. And if things go off the rails early for Gio, you know, maybe that does become a realistic possibility. Obviously, Chacin did not have a great outing against the Dodgers the last time he saw them at Dodger Stadium. He was the starter in that game that the Brewers lost 21-5. He gave up 3 home runs, 9 runs, 8 earned runs. So it was. He said earlier today it was easily his worst start of the season. But he feels like he's had enough career success against the Dodgers to fare well. So we'll just have to wait and see whether that's going to wind up being tomorrow in a relief role or in Game 3 as a starter.
But that's why Miley here and Chacin and LA is so fascinating to me. It seems like they're doing it the exact opposite way they should be doing it. Miley pitched a 1-0 game there this year in LA and is 4-0 with a 2.06 ERA and 7 career starts there.
Right.
And as Todd just said, Chacin's last start, they lost 21-5 there. So it looks like they're pitching him in the wrong place. But who are we to, you know, second guess a 99-win team? They've won 99 games so far, including the postseason.
Right.
So their pitching plan has been anything but a mess.
Yeah, and 2 lefties in a row to account for the fact that some of the Dodgers' best bats are left-handed bats, although the team's pretty good across the board. There's not many weaknesses for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Todd, last time we did a podcast with you guys, we didn't know that it was going to be the Dodgers. They're going to throw Clayton Kershaw in Game 1. The Brewers haven't... They've had some success against Kershaw. I mean, Christian Yelich hits him very well. They did beat him at Miller Park earlier this year. It's possible to beat that guy. Do you feel like the Brewers match up particularly well against Kershaw and maybe just the Dodgers in general? What do you think of this matchup overall?
Well, the fact that it's not just Kershaw but 2 other lefties, Ryu and Rich Hill,
right? Yeah.
Presents the Brewers some lineup problems because their best lineup has Yelich, Moustakas, and Shaw in it, 3 left-handed hitters. Well, you don't have to worry about Yelich because he hits lefties. But the other guy's not so much, and Shaw really not so much.
Right.
So, remember earlier in September when they had that long string of lefties they faced, like 7 out of 9 games?
Yeah, yeah.
Rarely did he start both Moustakas and Shaw. It was usually one or the other. So I think it stops them from putting the preferred lineup out there. And Craig Council did say that you are going to see different lineups. So I think I'm going to go home and start checking individual hitters against individual pitchers to see if they have some lefty hitters who did hit some of these lefties, or if we're going to see a whole lot of Jonathan Scope and Hernan Perez.
Todd, what are your thoughts on that? Because you predicted Eric Kratz's success in the first round. It could be Perez or Scope because you're going to see a lot more righties in this time, you know, in the NLCS here.
Yeah, I mean, what better time for Jonathan Scope to finally step forward and make an impact on this team? Tom and I were talking recently about him, and really he's just had one kind of seminal moment since coming to the Brewers, that grand slam against the Giants that turned that game around in September and helped win it. But, you know, with 3 lefty starters going here for the Dodgers, Scope obviously is going to get opportunities. And what better place, what better time than to finally step forward and take advantage of that than now. You know, Moustakas, you would assume, is going to remain in the lineup with the experience that he has in the postseason, the fact that he's had 2 really big hits already for the Brewers so far in the postseason. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of the mixing and matching and how Craig Council does align his team each game.
This place is going to be rocking pretty much on Friday and Saturday. The way the format works, you get 2 games at home, 3 games on the road. They'll go to LA for 3, and if the series continues, come back to Milwaukee for 2. That's always a little tough. It kind of puts more pressure on the team with home field advantage to win those first 2 games, because if they lose one of them, it could be over before they get a chance to come back. Tom, do you feel like this team needs to win both of these games, especially considering, I know they're the top seed, but I think the Dodgers by and large are the favorite here, although the Brewers, nobody's counting them out. A lot of people think that this Brewers team could win this series, but do you think these first 2 games, winning them both is paramount, or do you trust that they could perform pretty well at Dodger Stadium as well?
Well, I'll answer that on the flip side. I can tell you that the visiting team would be more than pleased to go home 1-1.
For sure, yeah.
You know, if they do that, they're going to feel real good about their chances, because then if the least you do is win 2 out of 3, then you still come back here in really good shape where you can close out the other team. So, you know, a visiting team's dream is going 2-0, because then you almost never see them come back to the first city when they do that. So, yeah, there is some pressure on the Brewers under that format. If they, Game 1's just going to be big for so many reasons. That reason we just said, that you can't lose both games, and even 1-1's a tough start. But it's Kershaw, and if you beat him right out of the chute or win the game that he starts, whether he's still in the game or not, then what a bunch of momentum. You know, we're trying to prepare ourselves for the next Brewers loss. We haven't seen one for 2 weeks.
3 weeks, hasn't it been? September 23rd, yeah, or 22nd. It's been a long time, the way the schedules work. It's
nuts,
crazy.
Nuts, isn't it? We haven't had to talk to anybody about losing in a long time.
It's very strange. It's a nice sensation. No, I don't think anybody expects the Brewers to go 4-0 in this series, but stranger things have happened. I mean, we saw the Rockies do this in 2007, where they caught fire, and they just kept winning until they got to the World Series. Todd, a little bit outside the lines from the game, there were some reports, a couple Brewers GM happenings. David Stearns reportedly was in consideration, I guess, for the Giants GM position, and was the report was that Mark Attanasio asked that he not interview for that spot. And then former GM Doug Melvin, who's still an advisor with this team, is in the mix for the Mets GM opening. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, I think there's probably a fear for a lot of Brewers fans that David Stearns, as successful as he's been, will be attractive for some of these bigger market openings. And then it's kind of, I guess, kind of nice and surprising to see the former GM, Doug Melvin, who has a lot to do with this team, still, you know, get an opportunity maybe to do this again.
I'll keep this brief. I'll let Tom handle most of this since he's kind of on the inside of all this stuff. My guess would be just looking at it from our vantage point, I don't think David Stearns is going to be going anywhere. No doubt there are going to be teams that are going to be calling and expressing interest in him in many different roles. He's obviously the hot name right now on the market, not on the market, but the hot name in baseball. If you're a struggling franchise or if you're looking for a change at the top, who better to go to than the architect of a guy who's turned a franchise around in 3 years' time, not even full 3 years. So, without any real inside knowledge or anything, I would guess that behind the scenes, Mark Attanasio and David Stearns have been talking. I'm sure Mark Attanasio is a smart businessman, as we all know. I'm sure he's angling and doing everything possible to make sure that David Stearns is happy and will remain here to see this this project through. As far as Doug Melvin goes, good for him. You know, it's interesting that he skews on the other end of baseball GMs as far as where he comes at the game from, his age. But that, you know, look at the team right now as it's constructed for the Brewers. Many of the key performers on this team were acquired under his regime. So good for him. Maybe he can work this, and maybe he can wind up with another GM job with the Mets. Certainly, it seems like they're kind of beating the streets and checking out all available avenues. I know he's a good friend of their former GM Sandy Alderson, so I'm sure there's some familiarity there. But I guess it just remains to be seen. We'll have to wait and see what happens there, Tom.
The interesting thing about this, guys, is that for whatever reasons, when the Brewers hired Stearns, they wouldn't tell us for how many years.
Right.
They just kept it a total secret. I don't know why. I'm guessing because of things like this.
Yeah.
If people don't know how long his term is, then they can't start predicting he will leave or that he's on his own or that he can call his own shots. I'm pretty certain it was at least a 4-year deal and probably five, and he's 3 years in. So that's why you can't deny permission to a guy who's not under contract anymore. He's a free agent, you know.
Right.
So I'm guessing he's under contract for at least one more year and probably two. And then what Mark Attanasio would do is stop lateral moves. You know, he's the number one guy in the baseball ops. If he's offered another number one, then Mark Attanasio is going to say no. We're going to deny permission. Matt Arnold is the number two guy. He's been rumored for that job as well, Giants, among others. Mark would not stand in his way of getting a number one. You don't stop a number two from getting a number one, but you do, if you really like your number one, stop him from going to be another number one. And so they're probably already talking about either a contract extension or a higher, a bigger title,
right,
instead of GM president of baseball ops or whatever you want to call it. And I'm guessing this offseason we're going to hear about that.
Yeah, I would say so. Todd, last question for you. You mentioned how fast this has been for David Stearns and company, just 3 years. I mean, this really started in earnest in 2015, and I think a lot of people thought 6 years maybe. They looked at the Cubs and the Astros, maybe longer. And here we are 3 years later with the NLCS about to begin. I mean, is there any way you could pinpoint the one or two things that made that happen, or is it just a series of lucky decisions, or just, honestly, it's just David Stearns working some magic?
I think it's all those things. A lot of stuff needs to happen. A lot of things need to come together for this to for the Brewers to have gotten to this point. And Craig Counsell talked a few days ago about that, just how, you know, he really couldn't have pictured this. And David Stearns has said it too, happening this quickly. They also said repeatedly over and over and over again there were no time frames. You know, there were no expectations from the outset that, you know, there was going to be a 2-year, 3-year, 4-year, you know, kind of goal in mind with getting back to competitiveness. We saw that, you know, when the Brewers were unexpectedly competitive last year and finished a game out from the playoffs, that they shifted into competition, competitive mode this offseason. They made the two really big blockbuster moves, acquiring Christian Yelich via trade and signing Lorenzo Cain, and did some tweaking here and there, and look where they are. You know, it's been a remarkable turnaround. It's been a fast turnaround, and regardless of how this all turns out here this year, you have to think this is a team that's poised to remain, you know, if not atop the NL, right amongst all the competitors here for the next several years. And as you know, Mark Adonazio is not a guy who sits on his hands.
No.
You know, if they've determined that they're a starting pitcher short this offseason, it would not surprise me in the least to see them go out and get somebody. You know, they're obviously in win-now mode, I think it's going to be more exciting in the years to come.
Yeah, you're using a word of David Stearns, and he went to Harvard, so he has a lot of good words. He said the general manager is informed by his team's play as to what he needs to do. Last year, in the second year of the rebuild, they won 86 games and missed the playoffs by one game. That informed them that they were ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
And to the credit of Attanasio and Stearns, they decided to really push their the pedal to the metal. Went and got Cain, Yelich, Chacin, some other guys. And then in the trading period, picked up all kinds of help. And so they saw a team ahead of schedule, and they decided to really push it ahead of schedule. And so, but the bottom line here is this has exceeded all expectations externally and internally. They did not see this coming either.
Tom Hodricord, Todd Rosiak, you can find their material at jsonline.com. Stick with them all throughout the NLCS. Thanks, guys. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, JR.
Thank you.
That's all for today. We're going to come back at you in the off day, I believe. That would be on Sunday with more, a little recap of what we saw from Friday and Saturday night's games. Hopefully, Tom and Todd will be available at that time. Also chatted with Travis Shaw, so we'll have that for you on our next Brewers Journal Sentinel podcast. Once again, find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. We are there for you. You can subscribe to us. Comment on what you hear, rate us, give us a review, let me know on Twitter what you think. My Twitter handle again, at JR Radcliffe, that's at JRRADCLIFFE. I want to remind you this podcast coverage brought to you by Century Foods. They're celebrating Milwaukee's run to the pennant, and they also have 65 years providing Wisconsin families with their tailgating needs, including the best meat in town. Thank you for listening to the Brewers Journal Sentinel podcast. We will chat with you again very soon.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.